I'll tell you, all these youngins, what are you going to do? I was watching the action song there, and I remember when I first came here, there was a bunch of younger or older Tongans that were doing the dancing, a couple of very young kids. They were named Samu and Simi, and they were just little ones then. And did you notice in the action song this morning that they were leading, and a young one will lead them, and they grow, and amen, and amen. So this morning's gospel lesson, did you hear that? The end of it got cut off. That was my mistake, getting it to Paya. It's been a busy week, and your pastor's not all mentally present. So, just deal with it. Amen. With God's grace and through His Spirit, we will come through. We're moving on. But in the gospel lesson, Nalu kept reading, and he read about Simon Peter and the other disciples. Well, how come he didn't read the other disciples' name? Have you ever wondered that? In the Gospel of John, there's this other disciple, sometimes called the disciple that Jesus loved best, but is never named. We believe that it's John. And in fact, in seminary, we took a vote, us students, and decided we would just change all the Bibles and take out the other disciple and put in John. The teachers did not like the idea. But this other disciple, John and Peter, and that's a weird scene. Did you hear that? There was competition, apparently, Simon, Peter, and the other disciple, John. And so they're rushing to see Jesus. Who won? It's a tie because Simon Peter got there first, didn't he? But he didn't go in. And then John arrives, the other disciple, arrives last, and that he goes in first. So it's a balance, it's a tie. If you're a Simon Peter fan, or if you're a John fan, other disciple, you see, it equals out. Neither of them is greater than the other. None of us is greater than another, amen? But our morning, Easter morning, is not about Simon or John or the other disciple. It's about Jesus. Interesting stuff there, and I've done this a year or two now. I've been in ministry for a little bit. Totaled it up, 39 years worth. Okay, so I figure 39 years, 52 weeks. That's 2,098 different gatherings for worship. You'd think I'd have it figured out by now. No. But we're getting there. And actually, Holly and I were having a discussion one day about reading through the Bible and how many times we've read through it and heard this scripture. Was anyone here? I won't single anybody out. Have you ever heard this scripture before read? Put your hand up there. Yeah, it's not a trick question. Okay. So we've heard it. Some of us many times. But you know what? In hearing it again and reading it again, I heard something that I thought was interesting. No, it's not my hay fever. That's not interesting. But hesitance. There's a hesitance. Did you notice that they get to the tomb, but they didn't go in? I mean, if you had run all that way, they ran to the tomb, but they run all the way, and then they hesitate to go in. Why would there be hesitance? You know, if this is really the tomb and this is really Jesus and we're really about the Christ and there isn't Christ and holiness, wouldn't you be a little bit hesitant to face the Lord? Do you remember Isaiah? He was a prophet in the Old Testament. He said, "Woe is me, I'm a person of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the Lord." I'm in deep trouble. I'm standing here before the Lord God Almighty, and I am not pure. I'm not perfect. In fact, Exodus tells everyone, thou shalt not look on the Lord and live. So was there hesitance to go into the tomb because, gosh, maybe I'm not worthy? We have doubts. Maybe not all of you. Some of you may be perfect. I am still moving on to perfection, but and I can't speak for you, but we tend to have doubts as peoples. And yet, O ye of little faith, says Jesus. And in fact, Nalu read from Acts, anyone who fears the Lord and practices righteousness is acceptable to the Lord. Think about that a minute. Anyone who fears the Lord and practices righteousness is acceptable. That's a pretty big statement. If we try, if we work at it. So, maybe it isn't fear of being inadequate that pauses. Maybe it's inconvenience. I have known people in the church who find being faithful a little bit inconvenient. I remember a huge controversy back in the 80s and 90s. We discovered that coffee was being farmed by the major corporations in countries, third world countries, and they were not paying the farmers enough to live on. And they were making big money off of us back here. Not so much in Britain, you know, they got that whole tea thing, but us Americans, I know that Mark alone can go through a whole pot in the morning. Amen. He's not the only one, but we won't see a show of hands here. But there was this big to-do and this big hoopla about whether or not that was right. And everybody said, well, they ought to pay them fairly. That's not right not to pay them fairly, but don't raise our coffee prices. It might be inconvenient, and there was a big push there in both directions, and fair trade coffee came about. Do you remember that? They said, we will only buy coffee if it's fair trade. Well, it cost more. Did you notice that when it was happening? It cost a little bit more. And over the years, I've been trying to always buy fair trade coffee, and then I noticed that label's gone now. Do you know why? Everybody is fair trade coffee. We, as a people, I'm going to say the United States, the big coffee drinkers, but I think the world in general, we said justice is first. Justice is first. Amen? So that's a piece of why we might hesitate to come to the Lord. It might be inconvenient. There's another reason we might be hesitant. Another reason that I struggle, I don't know if all of you, but the Lord says, love your brother and your sisters. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm ready to do that, except for those neighbors that I don't want to treat with as my brother and sister at all. Do you ever have any neighbors like that? You got the neighbors that you love, and you get along with just fine, but then there's those other ones. And they may not be neighbors in your neighborhood. They may be people you know. They may be people you don't know. People who put up billboards that you object to, or people that have bumper stickers that you object to. My goodness, that's a political landscape just driving down the road, isn't it? So there, it might be about the fact that I haven't quite gotten to the point of loving all of my brothers and sisters. So I have fallen a bit short. But we have to be about that. We have to reach acceptance of all of our brothers and sisters. That's hard in today's political environment. That's hard today in today's social environment. That's hard today. Shall we just leave it there? But there's another reason that we might say, I'm hesitant to go in there. There's a story of a little boy, and his mother tells him, I want you to say grace for dinner. And the little boy thinks for a minute, and he says, well, Lord, make me a good boy, but not right away. I'm having a pretty good time now. Don't rush me. Let's not get there. Let's do it. I'll be good in a second. Right now, though, I might have to give up some things that I don't want to give up. I might have to change some behaviors that I think that I should change. And a lot of people view religion and church's imposition upon them as burdens. And Jesus addressed that. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." What does that mean? I mean, how can that be about the case if it's a burden? How? And yet I've discovered over the years that as I let go of judging and fearing and excluding and trying to make others think the right way, my way, as I give all of that up and let go of those things, I'm finding myself in a better place. Now, that burden is light. Loving my neighbors it's not as hard as it seemed like it might be. So there might be reasons to hesitate to face Jesus in the tomb, to face Jesus gone from the tomb, but to even look in and address our Lord. Neo, thank you for your prayer, as always. Good word, brother. So this morning is about Easter, is about hope. Believe it or not, it's about hope. Naomi Ruth, born. And I hope that we'd have some kids for the vacation Bible school song. Were you hoping for a couple people to come forward, Stephanie? Just for a couple. Boy, there was a veritable plethora this morning, wasn't there? Did we celebrate them? And all you little kids that used to do that, those little kids that have grown up, I just love it. It's wonderful stuff. But we are slowly and steadily moving forward in history. We are slowly and steadily gaining into being a better Christian community. We don't have to name it that way. We are fairer, more loving, more inclusive, more just. And all of those words, and you don't have to call those Christian, although that's what he taught, and that's what he was about. But through God's grace, we're finding steadily improving about care and inclusion of others and about equality and about open hearts. Open hearts, open minds, open doors. It was our saying for our church, and it's about following Christ. And Christ didn't want to force people to be there because that's not true transformation. You can enact laws. You can use fear to impose things. You can threaten imprisonment or even death and crucifixion. But change comes through our hearts. Hearts changed. And that journey continues today. And on this Easter morning, we can pause and say, Lord, we aren't there yet, but we're moving forward. We are not perfect yet, but we are moving on to perfection. Amen? Happy Easter. He is risen indeed.